This morning we do have a missionary with us heading to Thailand, and Pierce and Megan Davis, and they're in that fundraising mode of getting all the support they need to be launched into ministry. And this morning I want you to give a warm welcome to them as he comes to share with you what God is doing in their lives.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Brooks, Pastor Scott, for having us in today. It's an honor to be able to share with you guys a little bit about us. My name is Pierce Davis. This is my wife, Megan, and that is our son, Elliot, who's about 15 months right now. And then we are also pregnant with our second son, ready to pop out in July. And I can say that because she's not near me to hit me. But we're just excited to be here, and we are about 90% funded on our budget. We're back for the next few months until the baby, and then we're hoping to return to Thailand in early September. And just to give you a little backstory about us is it was 6 years ago that we felt God calling us into missions, and we had just got married, and it was one of those things we always said, you know, we'll just go into missions later in life when we're a little bit more established and stuff. But it was 3 months after we got married, we just really felt the call, and we really felt God urging us to go overseas. And so all those presents we had gotten our wedding, we put them all in a yard sale, and we sold them, and we were committed to going. And God sent us to the country of Nicaragua. And Nicaragua is the second poorest country on this side of the world. And we were there working with thousands of displaced orphans who scavenged through garbage dumps just looking for a means to survive. And we were able to work with an organization called Feed the Hungry. And we were feeding over 8,000 kids a week, and we were able to tell them about the love that Jesus had for them, and we were seeing so many incredible things happen there. We loved that place. We were seeing kids get saved. We were seeing lives radically transformed, and then one day I pick up this book that completely changed my life, and it was a book that was talking about unreached people groups, people who had never heard the name of Jesus before, and I never heard that concept before. And so as I'm reading this book, I come across this statistic that talks about for every 1 million Christians we have inside of a country, we have 189 missionaries that are there working with them. But for every 1 million Muslim and 1 million Buddhist inside of a country, there's less than 4 missionaries in those regions. And so when I started to read that, God just really started to transition our hearts over to Thailand. And it's not that we didn't think missionaries were needed in Latin America, but we just kind of wanted to balance out the scales. And we wanted to give everyone an opportunity to hear about the God who died for them and the God who loves them. And so we get there, and it was completely different than anything we had ever experienced. There was no church, very few Christians. In fact, it's a country of 67 million people. 66 million of them have never even heard the name of Jesus, or they have no understanding of the gospel story. And so we're there because we want to plant churches, and we want to give people an opportunity to know Jesus. And we just started to walk around these areas, and we just started to pray. And one story I have, when we first got to Thailand, we go to this university, and it had 10,000 Muslims, 10,000 Buddhists, and only 3 Christians on the entire university. And we were there just praying that God would open a door. And as we're walking around, we're praying. And about an hour and a half later, we come back together, and I'm thinking we're about to leave. And as I'm sitting there, the Thai pastor, he looks at me and he goes, "What are you doing? We're not done praying yet. We need to pray for another 4.5, 5 hours and just believe that God is going to do something." And I'm going to be honest with you, I was a little fleshly in that moment, and I just looked at him like, that's a lot of prayer. Like, this guy is really holy. But we prayed around that campus, and we persevered, and we kept praying for about 6 hours that day, and we come back together. Well, the next morning, we're heading back up to Bangkok, and that Thai pastor calls us on the phone, and he's like, "Guys, you are never going to guess what just happened." And he tells a story about how he went back to the university, meets this 21-year-old Muslim student, and within an hour, he had led him to the Lord, and it was the very first salvation that ever took place on that campus. And so now I'm happy to say that we have 4 Christians on the campus. It's a 25% increase, so from a statistical standpoint, we're doing great. But, you know, and then we come across, there was the verse, it's John, 1 John 5:14, where it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us." And we really took that verse to heart, and we really started walking through these areas, and we just really started believing that God was going to open doors. And so there was one series of Muslim communities that God really put on our hearts, and it's these 13 different Muslim communities, and it's what they call a zero zone. There's no Christians, no churches, and many of them have no understanding of the story of Jesus. And so we spent 2 years every month walking in and just praying around these communities, and we would play with the kids and stuff, but the Muslim men of the community, they were very skeptical of us, thought we were there to buy drugs or prostitution because they've never had Christians that have had a desire to help them. But we kept praying that God would open a door, and in January, a few months ago, I had a chance to go back, and I went to this community, and we're just walking around praying again and playing with the kids and hanging out and stuff. And at the end of the day, we're starting to leave, and the Muslim leaders and the imam, the leader of the temple, they approach us. And they look at us and they go, you know, we've been watching you for 2 years. And at first we were really skeptical of everything that you're doing. But now we see that you Christians really want to do good things in our community. And they go on to tell us that we can come back into this community anytime that we want. They're going to give us the permissions and the visas to do so. And they're even going to pay for all of our expenses as long as we keep doing community development stuff with the kids. And then the best part is the imam, the leader of the temple, takes us back to the mosque. And he opens it up, invites all the kids to come in, and we got to sat there teaching them English using the story of Jesus Christ as the reference. And so we're sitting in a mosque telling these kids about Jesus. But I just want to encourage you, that happened because we prayed. That happened because we believed that God was going to open a door, because that Thai pastor taught me the most valuable lesson I've ever learned in my life is that we as a church can never stop praying. We can never stop believing and never stop giving, because God has a desire to use us to do the impossible. And because we prayed that day, one more person came into eternity. And so I want to encourage you as a church, keep praying and keep believing for God to use you to do the impossible, because our prayers are breaking down spiritual bondage and strongholds all around this world, and we have to be a church that is on our knees and praying for God to do the impossible. And the second thing I just want to encourage you with is, when we first got to Thailand, we met this girl named Dao. And Dao had only been saved for a couple weeks, but she wasn't plugged into a local church or anything. So we started to disciple her and take her and just try to help build her faith and find her a local church. And we have her over for dinner one night, and we just asked her, we're like, Dao, how did you get saved? And she begins to tell us a story that she's been working at this coffee shop, and every Friday night, these group of people have been coming in, sitting around a table, opening up this book and talking about it. Well, the book was the Bible. She didn't even know what it was. But she goes, as soon as I saw them, I noticed that there was something different about them. I noticed that they were filled with peace, with love, with happiness, with all these things that I'd never felt before. So after about 3 or 4 weeks of them coming in, I finally asked them one day, I go, why are you so different? And these group of Christians begin to tell her about Jesus Christ and the gospel story. And so she goes home that night and she prays for the very first time in her life. She's lying in bed and she's looking up at her ceiling and she just says, Jesus, if you are real, then I want you to show me. She falls asleep that night and she begins to have this dream that she's climbing up this mountain. It's one of the tallest mountains in the world. And after hours of ascending to the top of this mountain, she gets so physically exhausted that she couldn't continue anymore. So she sits down on a rock to rest. Well, as she sits down, she looks over and she sees this man starting to walk up the pathway. And this man gets to her, he picks her up, and he carries her to the top of the mountain. And she looked at me and she goes, that man was Jesus. And she said she instantly woke up from her dream. And she felt peace inside of her for the very first time. She felt love and joy and happiness inside of her. And she gave her heart to Christ in that moment. And her life was changed that day because a group of Christians were walking so closely with God that she could see the reflection of Jesus off of them. And I want to encourage you as a church, be that reflection, be that beacon of hope, and be encouraged to tell people that about Jesus, because he is changing lives. And one of my favorite verses is the Great Commission, where it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But one of the best part of that verse to me is at the end, where it says, Jesus is telling them, lo and behold, I will be with you always to the very end of the day. And so I just want to encourage you, go and be that disciple, go and evangelize, because God is going to be there with you and he's going to comfort you. And let's just be a church that is willing to pray and invest in missions and have a heart that is willing to give like never before. So thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Mark 16:15 says this, and I'm not going to preach a full-out message this morning, but just share a heart with you, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Guatemala as well. Mark 16:15 said to them, and who is the he here? Anybody afraid to say his name? What's his name?
Jesus.
Jesus said to who? Disciples. He's talking to his disciples here. By the way, are there any disciples of Jesus Christ in here this morning? Amen. So, if we are disciples, do you know what the word disciple means? One under discipline. It's a student under discipline. You are a student of Jesus Christ. You're under the disciplines that he teaches and shares with us and teaches us. So, if Jesus says to his disciples, should we not pay attention? Amen. This is what he says. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Three thoughts here out of this simple little verse is, go into all the world. How many live somewhere in the world? Do you know you are there? Some people are looking for the moment of, God, where are you going to put me? God, where are you going to call me? God, what can I do for you? Where are you going to send me in this world? He has. He has placed you where you are as a believer, as a disciple. He has placed you there in that part of the world. Doesn't mean he can't call you somewhere else. He could. There are seasons that he might call you. There might be a life call. But you are called. Go into all the world. You are there. And what? Preach the gospel. Everybody say that. What does that mean? What is the gospel? The word. Go ahead. Keep going. Good news. What's good? What's the good news? Jesus died on the cross. So I'm going to tell everybody Jesus died on the cross. Is that enough? What's the rest of the good news? He rose again, and because he rose again, he offered what? Eternal salvation. Though he died for our sins, because he rose again, the good news that if you believe in him and you confess him as your Lord, you are saved. Church, we have backed off of preaching the good news. I wonder if we've forgotten what it is. It will bring salvation to people. Just like those at that in that coffee shop and those on that campus who are praying, those in Italy, because they're hearing the good news, they are responding. And church, they'll respond in your world too. Who do we leave out? Why? What's the last prepositional phrase? To everybody, to all creation. Church, it doesn't matter who they are, or where they've come from, what they've been through. I'm telling you, the gospel is for them, and you are the one to bring it to them. In 1 Chronicles, we have the Old Testament that, remember, it foreshadows what's to take place. He tells us there, publish his glorious deeds among the nation. Church, have you got anything that you need to publish about what God has done in your life? Amen. There ought to be some deeds. Anybody got saved? That is a deed that ought to be proclaimed. Tell everyone about the amazing things he has done. One of the things I think we've kind of backed off is the transformation that he's done in our lives. Church, he is continuing to transform us. You say, well, my testimony is like 40 years old, and that's way back then. But let me tell you, what has he done for you this week? Church, he is continuing to work in your life. He continues to speak to us. He continues to encourage us. And we need to continue to tell what he's doing in our lives. Amen? Romans 10 teaches us this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? Church, we just got to give them the opportunity. You say, well, I don't know if they're going to receive it. You don't know that they're not going to receive it. You've got to go and tell in your world. Be bold, because he is faithful to his word. Anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one on whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Verse 15, how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Church, your feet are beautiful. And if you've ever wondered if you've been sent, I'm sending you today. You are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We have been called to missions. We have been called to the mission. And our mission simply is to tell the good news. And I can't worry anymore about what people are going to think about me or what they might, whether they're going to receive it or not. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Church, we have just been called to proclaim. You have not even called to save anybody. You cannot save anybody. But you can preach. You can tell the good deeds. You can give opportunity. Because church, that's what we've been called to. I'm thankful for the mission opportunities I have. As I've been pastoring the church, I love missions. But for almost a year and a half, I haven't done any missions trip due to the fall I had with my ankle. I just didn't feel like I could get out there and really do what I could do. And so this summer was the first one I just set up and just returned from Guatemala. And church, it was a great trip. Let me just walk you through. Guatemala is a beautiful country, very mountainous. And what the reason I took this picture is what amazed me, and I know you can't see it real well there, but that side of the mountain has been burned off, if you can see that, because that is where they plant their food. This is up on the mountain of Pentelito, where a missions has been established by the Beans and the missionaries there in Guatemala. The next picture shows the what they've built. They built a schoolhouse, a missions house, and this is because there was no school there. There was no ministry in the sense of even from the country for education there. But the Beans said, we need to educate these kids. So they built the facility. Now the city will send up two teachers to that village of 60 people. But that's not enough teachers. So these missionaries have also hired two other additional teachers to go up there. So there's four teachers up there on that mountain teaching these kids. It's a great ministry site. Across the mountain, you can see another mountain over the other side, Montesano, and you'll show the next picture. This is the village over on Montesano. This is where I got to preach the first Sunday I was there and got to share the gospel. But these two villages, if you walk out, going up the mountain, took about an hour and a half, literally a four-wheel drive, in four-wheel drive, and working four-wheel drive. And, I mean, we were traveling maybe 5 miles per hour. And we went through rivers and valleys and steep mountains. And but they're ministering to these people. The Beans have been there for 30 years. But they told me the first 12 years of their ministry, they really didn't see any fruit. But, church, I'm telling you, they're bearing fruit today. And what God is doing in their lives and through them is marvelous. Then we went down to Rio Doce. It's the river valley area. And there was a village they heard about that wanted them to come and minister. They'd never been there before. In fact, we first thought that we were told we were prepping ourselves for a village that had never heard the gospel. And so we're like, okay, wherever we need to go, we're going to go out in the bush and we'll do it. But we get there, we drive, this is about 3 hours outside of the mountain range, heading out to the east side, the Caribbean Ocean. We went out actually into the ocean, came back into the seashore, and this is a village about a mile inland, and the village is called San Juan, and anyway, we get into the village, and that is a picture of the Assemblies of God Church in that village, and we're like, these people know about Jesus. Come to find out, over 50% of the village has given their lives to Jesus and are reaching out right now to six other villages around them. They are doing missions. Yet we were able to step in with the medical team and meet some needs that they hadn't been able to meet. The gospel is being shared, but they're able to minister outside of that. Here I am with the pastor of that particular assembly there, and just wonderful, wonderful people. The next place we went to is up on a mountain. We went back. It's in the river, but it's just all mountains. It's mountainous country. So we go up, and in fact, we pull up, and I'm like, we still got to climb this mountain with equipment to do ministry. But we get up on top of the mountain, and there is this church. This is a Mayan Indian village that still is 100% Mayan. And they speak another language called Quechua. So we were having to translate from English to Spanish to Quechua, and they only had like two people that spoke Spanish, so it was challenging to get all the way through. But I'm telling you, over 60% of this village has given their hearts to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, though, 12 years ago, this village was dying from cholera, and no one would go into the village and help them. They told the Beans about it, and the Beans said, hey, we'll go in. And so they would take them up, and at that point, there were no roads 12 years ago to this. Only by river could you get there. Only in the last few years is there a road. In fact, on our way out, we almost didn't get out because it started raining that day. It's coming, the rainy season's coming. And the river we passed on our way in, about this deep, was this deep on our way out. Just in a few hours, it had changed. And so that's why the road system is not meant for that. But they arrive into this, they got close, and they said, we aren't going any further, that they're dying. They went in, and they told him, you'll just boil water, put salt and sugar in it, and you just keep drinking that. And 3 months later, the missionaries came back, and the people were well. And the people were like, hey, what else you want to tell us? And all of a sudden, now, this represents nothing like the community. They have built a beautiful facility, but they live in dirt floor, boards with 2 or 3 inches between, with thatched roofs. In fact, I walk into one. We were invited to go into a few of the homes, and we went in, and there's the kitchen in the corner, and I just happened to look up, and I'm like, the thatched roof is just black. And I'm like, man, a few embers up there, that thing's... So I asked the missionary, I said, do they ever catch on fire? He's like, yep. And it's just part of what they deal with. It's part of their life. But to minister and see what God is doing around the world. Church, I want you to know the gospel is being shared. The gospel is going forth. There are villages. In fact, the one village back in San Juan, they walked in, and I'll tell you the story real brief. They came in, the village gets saved, and they have done away with all tobacco and all alcohol-related items. They are not sold in the village at all, though that is what's being pushed in the community. That's what's being brought. In fact, we shared with them about their teeth and because they don't have the hygiene care that we have. And so the next thing they're dealing with, their teeth are just rotting out, but they're being inundated with all kinds of chips and pop. And that's the Western world pushing in and saying, buy this, buy this. And so they will sell their fish to buy chips and pop. But we share with the village leader that what the sugar is doing, because you don't have all the hygiene that you need. And the village leader just began to weep. And he's like, we will deal with that. They just don't know. Church, just like people don't know the gospel, when they hear it, they need to hear this truth. Amen? Also, this is one other picture outside the church. We were doing ministry. We were set up for dental right outside. And there are probably 100 there. And they line around the building that were there for dental care. We took out, I don't know how many teeth. We had one that was an extraction area. And Jim McHenry was there doing everything he could do to fix teeth and help them out and fillings. And there was one girl, I remember one time, she came in and it's like, it was quite extensive. And it's like, how much time do you give to it? But they're like, that's a girl and you're going to do white fillings and you're going to make it look good. And they did. We just served and just gave our lives to this. And so church, I want you to know, missions is happening from people right in our church. The McHenrys have been involved for about 16 years, giving their lives every year. Not every village, we went to 4 different villages, not every village gets dental care every year. And I'm believing that God's going to help us find another dentist that we can go and we can make a bigger impact and we can stay connected, because that is a great way to minister. We helped them with all kinds of things. But let me back up to the first Sunday I was there. First Sunday I was there, I was invited on Saturday night to preach the next morning. In fact, I asked, I said, am I going to preach on this trip or can I just go? And they said, oh, just come. You don't have to preach or anything. So I went with just my heart and my arms, you know. And sure enough, they asked me Saturday night. And I'm like, Lord, what do I share? And I just simply shared a message about our faith holding us tight to God through Jesus Christ. And so I shared that next morning. And everything was kind of going as what was seemed to be normal. Their music I thought was interesting. Pastor Matt, they play every song was the same key and 2 chords. Now, that does not necessarily line up with the melodies that they sang, but that was the backup. And so I'm like, wow, this is praise God, you know, because what wasn't pleasing to my ear was a resounding noise of praise to God. And so I'm listening, and everything's kind of flowing along. And all of a sudden, I finish preaching, and they come to me, and they're like, we want you to end with a song. Would you go to their little keyboard, which is about this big, and no sustain pedal. I mean, everything's choppy, and everything they did was thot, thot, thot. And so I'm like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, I really didn't feel it in my heart. And so I just kind of said, I don't know. And about that time, a girl walks in with kids. And I'm kind of watching what's going on. I guess this is the next thing. Well, service was about over, but it wasn't over. This girl walks in with the kids, and they do a song. They go up, and they do, holy, 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 santo, santo. And they just sing this song, and it's great. And I'm just like, this is good. And then she did a skit with them. It was kind of, have you ever heard of Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames? It was kind of a skit that here's the Lamb's Book of Life. It is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so the first kid comes up and says, I had fun in life. It was great. And they look, and your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so the demons came over and took that person away. And then the next person, I love Jesus, gave my heart to Jesus. And yes, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they were escorted into heaven. And they went through this several times. As soon as it was done, this little girl who brought him in, who I found out is 15 years old, all of a sudden begins to preach. And I'm like, what's going on? As we're talking, because I'm trying to understand culture and dynamics, the missionary is taken back too. The missionary doesn't know who this is and what's going on, because there has never, ever been kids' ministry. They've never allowed kids to do this. And so he's a little bit shocked. He's trying to fill us in with what's going on. But she begins to preach. Come to find out, she shares her testimony while she's preaching. This girl, some 6 to 8 months ago, had a sickness so bad that she was paralyzed from waist down. And her mom and dad would take her to witch doctors and everything they knew to do that way. But this little girl heard about a church service and went to it. And the Lord healed her that day. She's been kicked out of her village because of her faith. Because there is a strong Catholic influence that is mixed with witchcraft. I don't know if you know in other countries. It's sad to me, but you need to understand. In Haiti, Catholic Church has mixed voodoo right into the Haitian, into Christianity. Same has happened in Guatemala. They've mixed the witchcraft, and that's the church. What we would call the Catholic Church does not really represent what it should represent. And so they've kicked this girl out of her home, out of her village, and so she is now moved into this village, and I want you to watch just a few seconds of her preaching. Interpreter could not keep up with her. They were trying, and we were just kind of, that's why we had to download afterwards and get the story. But she was telling that congregation, she said, I don't care if you kill me. She said, I know in whom I have believed. I know Jesus, and he saved me, but what about you? And I'm like, we're in church. And I'm like, I'm giving my heart to Jesus again. I'm just like, Lord, give me hell. I want to go to heaven. Church. It doesn't matter. You need to know God's still redeeming people, saving people, and using people. He wants to bring glory. And he's brought this little 15-year-old girl who is now only 2 weeks have been there and is now leading a children's church in that village. And I'm telling you, there were like 10 kids that marched in with her. And there were other kids with us in the service earlier who aren't a part of that yet. But I'm telling you, she is preaching the gospel. And church, I want us to be as on fire for what God is doing in our lives. When our kids say, I'm on fire for Jesus, let them be on fire for Jesus. When someone is like, I went to my work and I told them about Jesus, and let's tell people we have a passion, at least we should have, for what God has done in our lives. In Matthew 9, once again, Jesus, he said, who said? And who's he saying it to? His disciples. Are you disciples? Are we listening to our master? Are we students under discipline? Hear what he says. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. You're like, I don't know if anybody else is going to get saved. I don't know if anybody else is going to make it to heaven. Church, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I wonder sometimes if it's not because there really aren't enough workers, it's because the workers aren't doing what they've been called to do. I'm thankful for the Davises who are giving their lives to a country that I've not been called to, but I'm telling you, those lost souls I care about. Every one of them, the millions of them. I believe you said 67 million. Heaven's big enough for every one of them. Thank you for going for us. Thank you for workers who are willing to go. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I'm asking God to send us. Next week, I'll be sharing a little more when I talk about vision. Because church, the Lord has put on my heart, lost people. We have got to go after lost people. And there are plenty of them in our neighborhoods, in our community. You say, well, I don't want to call them lost. Church, they're lost. They've lost their way. Our country, I feel like at times, has lost her way. But I'm telling you, there's some workers that God has put together, and he's going to use us. I want you to catch the last phrase of this, the last three words of verse 38. Would you read those together with me? His harvest field. Say it again. His. I want you to understand that many times we can take it on as, well, I got this big field. I've got to reach him. It's his field. You're just a worker. And he is planted where you don't even know where he's planted at times. He has prepared hearts by the Holy Spirit. He's just waiting for you, the worker, to come in and reap. Just to pull what's already ripe. It's his field. And so, church, I stepped into this place 11 years ago with a heart. In fact, it was almost 11 years ago I was preaching this weekend before I was elected as the pastor. And I remember us being around the altars. I've not accomplished yet what God has put in my heart to do. But I'm calling you out, and I'm saying, let's do missions in all the world. We'll do it in Thailand, Italy. We'll do it wherever our missionaries are called. But we're going to do it in our world too. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to invite the Davises to come. And Pastor Scott, Annie, and my wife, would you join around them? Church, I'm calling you to missions. You say, well, we do missions. We give. We do go. By the way, coming up, Nicaragua. We have a team going to Nicaragua. We're going to go there. We're going to minister. We're going to take kids from the dump out to and give them 3 days of camp and respite, but also tell them the gospel. I remember Four years ago we were there. And I remember the whole team and those that were getting on the bus after that. I mean, we were all just weeping. After being with them 24/7 for 3 days, you get to know them. You may not fully speak the language, but all of a sudden your heart connects. In church, we're going back once again, pour our lives into them. In September, I'm invited to go to the Philippines as a pastor, one of three pastors that is doing a pastor's conference in the Philippines with about 200 of their pastors. I'm excited about that. I'm asking God to help me and lead me because I'm like, Lord, what do I have to tell them? Except him who calls also equips. And so we do it. Missions, next year, I'm looking at the Philippines with Ruth Clark doing a children's emphasis somewhere in the spring. And so if you want to get on board with that, we're looking at New York with the kids next year, an AIM trip, actually possibly with the inviting the whole state and all the kids. So it'll be a great opportunity. We're looking for other mission endeavors, and there's some other places that God's put on our heart. Church, we're doing some foreign missions, and you can be a part of that. But I'm going to be calling us to local missions as well. Because you have friends, you have coworkers that need to know Jesus. And I'm going to be creative and trying to come up with ways to help you do that. Because my call is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So I'm going to come up with ways to equip you and help you. I'm not just going to say, well, go and hope it goes well. I'm going to say, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the leading of the Holy Spirit, but also with some tools that I believe will minister to our community. So, church, rise up. Davises, I want you to go. I want an anointing upon your life, like you said. All of a sudden, you walked in, these are holy people. So are you. And the holiness of the Lord, when it walks in and steps in, I'm telling you, it is recognizable. And people begin to go, what is that about? And you get to tell them. You get to lead them. All those kids, educating them with the Word of God, with the story of life. There's no better education than that. Thank you for being willing. They go on behalf of us. By the way, church, one more thing. I know we're running a little late. I don't wave our flag. I said this first service. I want you to hear me clearly. I never want to wave a flag for us, but I'll wave a flag for Jesus. There are over 12,800 Assembly of God churches here in America. We are ranked in our missions giving, and I want to share that with you. But it's not our banner. It's just what God's doing through us. Out of 12,800 churches, because of your giving to missions, our church, among all those churches, rank at 161. We're not that big, but our hearts are. In church, we've been doing over $250,000 in missions altogether. Let's keep it up, so that we can keep sending missionaries on the field. We can keep doing the great commission. And don't forget that the commission is not alone. It's a co-mission with God. And we've been called to do it together. I want to end by praying for them, and I want to end by sending you. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Davises. Thank you for what you called upon their lives. Lord, the season that you had them in Latin America area, thank you. But Lord, when you woke him up to what you have for him around people who have never, ever heard the gospel, I pray you give them methods, you give them ways, you give them inroads to tell the truth. And Lord, the truth sets people free. And Lord, they have heard a lie for long enough. Lord, I pray that truth will resound across that country. Lord, as they begin to share it in one place, it will perpetuate itself to another place. God, send them in power. Lord, meet all their needs. Give them all the supply they need. And Lord, we give you thanks for them. Thanks for Pastor Scott, who's helping me in missions, and his heart for Speed the Light. God, thank you. Thank you again for Pastor Casey and his heart and what you're calling us to, wherever that is. And Lord, for this congregation, I pray you would stir our hearts to recognize we are disciples and we have heard your call to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creation. So, Lord, that we would not hold back at all, but be bold. And Spirit, help us, we pray. And we give thanks in no other name for what you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.